Said she hate the way I apologize. Said she hate the way I apologize. Said that she deserve a better guy. Hate the way I apologize.
Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He is Ski at TSB Ski. He is King at Jeromney. Tweet at one of us if you want us to watch your movie. Unfortunately for you, that's going to be like a month from now because this week is your movie. Also, join our Discord. We get lots of movie suggestions in there. And by lots, I mean all of our suggestions in there. So join the Discord. You can do all that. You can also give us list suggestions. We share stories in there. We bullshit. It's a good time. Sports Brewery and Discord. Let us know if you need an invitation for that. One of us can send you one. Also, twitch.tv/abrog87 if you want to watch the sports podcast. twitch.tv/abrawg87. We do that every Thursday. If you hit follow, you can get the notification and click a button, and then you're there. And you can talk shit with us and watch it live. It's a good time. Why not? If you miss those, you can watch the streams on YouTube. I post them on there. Sports Brewery on YouTube. Just find them. Movie this week, as I said, is your movie. Final week of sequels, sequel month. Major League 2. Movie comes from WCP541 in the Discord. Major League 2 on Netflix came out in 1994. I would have said later. But 1994 is when the
first one came out in the 80s. So
it did. I know. I would have said that came out in the 90s if you had asked me, but makes sense. This movie on Rotten Tomatoes has a 5%.
Tough scoring on that.
It is tough. It is tough. Yes. TUFF. There is no Metacritic score. I could not find one, which is crazy because, like, came out in the 90s. It was came out after the first Major League. So one would presume there was a whole bunch of critic grades of this and whatnot, but there's nothing on Metacritic. Couldn't find it. 5.6 on IMDb. So 5.6 IMDb, 5% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know. I don't know what that tells you, but.
Did you happen to look up Major League Back to the Minors score on Rotten Tomatoes?
I think it's better, isn't it?
See, that's insane. That's insane. This movie's not that good, but it's not bad. It's just it's so cheesy is the only downside to it. Because they turn into a PG movie. That's what made this movie bad.
Major League Back to the Minors has a 21% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Insane.
Which, by the way, still fucking awful. Not apples and oranges. This is like oranges and slightly more rotten oranges. Like
Bacula. Yeah.
I mean, I think we can safely say they're both bad. Like I will argue with you. Major League 2 is a bad movie. Like
I am not disagreeing. It's bad.
Okay.
I just saying, I think before this movie was made in the process, the original script and the original idea for this was not a bad movie. They just cheesed this up and made it PG. That the whole point of the first one, why it was great, is that it was rated R and it was, you know, gritty like it would be in a clubhouse. You know, yeah. People saying
no. It goes exactly along the lines of Charlie Sheen's character in this movie. They cleaned it up, and because they did that, it's a worse movie. He's a worse player. They're a worse team. It all goes back to that. They decided to clean up Wild Thing, and it ruined the whole franchise. Both franchises. Okay, so let me get to the cast.
Yes.
It is Charlie Sheen reprising his role as Rick Wild Thing Vaughn. Tom Berenger, Jake Taylor. Corbin Burnson as Roger Dorn. Dennis Haysbert, President of the United States of America, by the way. Pedro Serrano. James Gammon plays Lou Brown. Omar Epps plays Willie Mays Hayes, replacing Wesley Snipes, obviously. Eric Bruskater plays Rube Baker.
Rube. Great character, though. Great character. Rube.
Elements of Rube are good. Takashi Ishibashi plays Isuro Tanaka. David,
what's his name?
Man, I fucking nailed it.
When I know you did. That's why. Wow, you nailed that.
Tanaka. Tanaka is the character's name. Shut up.
You did David a great job. Oh, man.
I know. Thank you. No, thank you. I'm going to like put that in the podcast Hall of Fame. David Keith plays Jack Parkman. By the way, he's great. I think he's a good villain. Yeah, I think we can say that. Bob Uecker as Harry Doyle. Margaret Witten reprising her role as Rachel Phelps. Jesse Ventura, obviously, star of this.
White Lightning.
White Lightning. And Michelle Burke plays Nikki. Yeah, so no Snipes. Mention that. And so I sort of looked into why Wesley Snipes decided to
not. Did you see the movies he was making from like 91 to 94?
And I made a list of movies that he was in during that same time period. Also, like, he's never been on record talking about why he said no. Like, I mean, you would think somebody would have asked him at some point, put it in print. But, like, he had better choices. Like, clearly, the movies that he put out. But, like, he never, Burns, I think it was.
I saw Corbin Burnson had an interview with him. Had an interview and brought up Snipes. Pretty much saying he's making big time money in these huge blockbusters. And I guarantee he got probably a redraft of the script and was just like, this is stupid.
No, the quote was, he's like, I went up to Wesley and was like, hey, we're making a Major League 2. And he's like, oh, is that what you're going to do? Mm-hmm. And he's like, and that sort of rubbed me the wrong way. It's like, okay, well, you made a horrible movie. He didn't. By the way, let me go ahead and read off this list.
By the way, Corbin Burnson, one of only three characters that were in all three movies. Can you name the other two?
Serrano?
Serrano.
Yep. Dave Taylor.
Nope.
No, because it was Bakula instead.
Oh, that's right.
Actually, scratch that. There's four. I forgot. There's four.
Harry Doyle? So
Uecker makes an appearance, and then the hidden gem guy who has like no lines is I'm going to say he's either the bench coach or the hitting coach.
Yep.
Duke Temple.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Temp!
Yep.
He's the one that gives the sign in the first one for the suicide squeeze. Lou Brown. Yeah.
That's so great, by the way.
Like, ex-ball player him too.
That's a really good nugget. So here's some movies. I just made a short list of movies Wesley Snipes was in between between 1989, when the first movie came out.
Wait, hold on a second. How many movies are on your list there?
I made a list of like eight, something like
eight?
That.
Eight? How about?
But there were
Demolition movies. Man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Passenger 57.
Yep.
Rising Sun was after that.
Do you want me to just read the list?
Yeah, I kind of want to guess them all.
So, Art of War.
That's
King of New York.
New
Jack City.
New Jack City.
Yeah. Whoa,
White Men Can't Jump. Mm. Demolition Man. Money Train.
Oh, Money Train.
Oh, yes.
How did I forget Money Train?
Oh, so good.
Waiting to Exhale. He was by the way.
No, he wasn't.
He was. U.S. Marshals. That was kind of a big one.
Yeah. Okay.
And Blade.
Yeah.
No shit. That was all in like a 4-year span?
Yep. A bit like a 7-year span, pretty much. Okay. Yeah.
Well, the crazy,
Major League One, which came out.
I mean, he was almost a no name going into Major League One.
He was. Yeah.
And then I think New Jack was like right after it, which just skyrocketed him up.
So, yeah. Wesley Snipes saying no to Major League 2, not even saying no, because apparently they didn't even bother. They must have asked his agent or something, and his agent's
sure.
No, he's making Demolition Man, so we're good. Thanks. Yeah. He's making that dumb action movie you had Omar Epps playing in this dumb movie. Like, that's what he's making in real life. Also, by the way, Randy Quaid.
Don't forget Quaid.
Reprises his role as the wacky fan. Yeah. all right. This movie written by R.J. Stewart, who is known for Xena Warrior Princess.
Oof. Oof.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any Kevin Sorbo credits to this guy?
he went on to write Xeno Warrior Princess. So he had not really done much prior to Major League 2.
There's no way. Is he the only writing credit? David S. Ward did not write this movie.
David S. Ward came up with the characters, but he did not write this movie. But there are other writers. There's Jim Lenoin and Tom Parker, who also wrote The Flintstones and Richie Rich.
See, there's the problem is that, yeah, if I could have swore I read something that I could have swore David S. Ward wrote this.
He directed it.
I know he directed it. Because I remember he had this whole thing. This is supposed to be a trilogy. Mm-hmm. There's supposed to be a third major league where they finally win the World Series.
R.J. Stewart wrote the screenplay for this movie.
Yeah, crazy. Okay. All right, that's why it's terrible, because David S. Ward is not a bad writer. So
agreed. Yeah. But so, by the way, again, David S. Ward directed this movie, also directed the first Major League and Back to the Minors, also directed The Program and Down Periscope.
Oh, great movie, Down Periscope.
We have talked about David S. Ward before. The Program, Down Periscope, Back to the Minors, Major League. You got me, David S. Ward.
I mean, you guys know my stance on Down Periscope, so.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. A flawless picture.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic film.
Film. Yeah, I think they lost it in the writing, right? Like, you bring in people who write Xena, The Flintstones, and Richie Rich, and I think you're kind of screwed.
Again, Flintstones was a good movie, though.
Flintstone was good.
Richie Rich, not good.
But again, the problem in my eyes is not necessarily the writers on this. It's the studio, because I guarantee they're the one that said, oh, let's make this PG so we could have an even bigger box office than the first one. And this movie just cannot be made with PG. It just can't.
It worked, by the way, because they were number one in the box office when this came out. Do you know? Okay, I'll take a wild guess. So 1994.
94.
What movie this beat out to be number one? I'll give you a hint.
Angels in the Outfield. That was 94.
Close. Danny really O'Neill to Dinophilia.
No, really close, though. Like, it's a Disney sports movie.
Rookie of the Year.
Nope.
Mighty Ducks, the first
Mighty Ducks 2.
Mighty Ducks 2! Ding,
oh,
ding,
D2?
Ding.
Oh, D2? My God. Wow, I am so old.
D2, the Mighty Ducks. Yeah. I mean, come on, let's get it right.
When did Mighty Ducks come out?
Who did D2, the Mighty Ducks? Who was their star of that movie?
Emilio!
Charlie Sheen's brother. Boy, it was coming up Estevez in 1994, baby.
By the way, I do have a...
What was Martin up to?
Yeah. Is that when Apocalypse Now came out?
No, what was that White House show with him?
West Wing.
West Wing. He was probably doing the West Wing.
Holy shit!
Yeah. No, but I do got a theory. It's the Charlie Sheen Major League universe. So I think it came out like the following year, 95. It came out the movie Chase, right? So what you want to do, here's
like
chronological order you got to watch this series in. You watch Chase first, because that's the prequel to Rick Vaughn, right? Gets caught stealing a car, goes to the California Penal League.
Perfect.
Then you watch Major League 1.
I love it.
Then you watch Major League 2. And here's the thing. Post-Major League 2, once he retires, he gets into finance, and then you watch Money Talks. That is the Rick Vaughn universe. You need to watch those four movies.
I thought you were gonna go Wall Street, by the way.
Nope.
He gets into finance and does Money Talks.
Yep.
My first.
Even though he's like a news. Well, I guess more sense he's a news anchor than my Wall Street guy. But yeah.
Oh man.
So good.
It's like someone needs to show that in theaters.
Boston
I go watch
posse.
All four movies.
Cutting in the crib.
Who had a bigger mid-90s, Charlie Sheen or Chris Tucker?
It's going to be hard to find someone that tops Charlie Sheen in general.
No, it was Sheen. Yeah, because Tucker really just had like Friday, Fifth Element, and
Presidents?
Rush Hour.
I mean, we're brushing aside Rush Hour. Yeah.
That's a good point. It's a good argument.
I guess, yeah.
Many people are saying.
Because like Platoon was the 80s.
Nobody knows Charlie Sheen better than me. What were you saying, Ski? Sorry.
I was going to say, because like Platoon and stuff was like the 80s. So yeah, mid-90s. Yeah, maybe Tucker does get him in the mid-90s.
He fizzled out, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
much like Marco Rubio. Ron the Sanctimonious.
I did read something about how when Sheen was in the middle of his like sort of breakdown, he was talking about how they were right. They had Major League 3. Like there was a script for Major League 3.
I told you, yeah.
Yeah, they were going to make it. It was all set. But then him sort of falling off the edge that he fell off of sort of made it so that couldn't happen. And so instead they did Back to the Minors, basically. And so that's why we have Back to the Minors. And that's why Charlie Sheen is not in it.
As a very quick aside, the whole Charlie Sheen thing in like 2010 was very cringy that we all were like, oh, winning.
We thought it was cool, right?
Tiger blood.
Tiger blood. Like,
what a weird 6 months.
Why are we embracing this guy's addiction problems?
It was very bizarre.
Like, yeah. Why do we enjoy seeing him fall apart?
He had great catchphrases. What can you say?
Hey, I mean,
marketable. Yeah.
Dare
yeah.
I say he set up the 2016 election.
Many people are saying. Okay, so maybe we should, let's see, talk about this movie. So the plot of this movie, I guess, is, I don't get why this happened, why this was an idea they had, but Roger Dorn buys the team from Rachel Phelps.
Mid-90s, probably not plausible. But just think about that now, where like Alex Rodriguez, who signed like two $250 million contracts in the span of like 10 years, has to buy a very shaky minority grounds of and where Dorn is just like, I'll just buy the whole team. Like
$150 million.
Very quaint number.
You also got to think at the time, I wonder if he's footing the bill for, I think that the Jake was built like right at the time of this movie too. Is he having to fund the Jake build as well?
Yeah.
I mean, Rachel Phelps ain't doing it.
The
so.
Jacobs and the Gund family. Yeah.
Yeah. So he, I mean, what we know about sports ownership now, like it has to be approved. There's like checks and balances and like the rest of the Major League Baseball has to approve and all of this stuff. So like the fact that they would let a guy who can't afford the franchise buy the franchise is sort of,
well,
just dumb. It's dumb. Like I'll say it.
MLB let Derek Jeter and his crew buy the Marlins a couple years ago when they could not afford it.
Derek Jeter, minority owner. And that was
very much so. What do you mean?
I think there was a billionaire backer somewhere in there, but yes.
Yeah, no, Dorn bought the team by himself.
And then
couldn't afford to run the team after like 3 weeks of owning it. And so had to sell it back to Rachel Phelps. So
still not a bigger plot hole than this. So this is the next season, right? So Major League One, Major League Two is the following season, right? People don't know how MLB works. All these Charlie Sheen's coming from prison. Wesley Snipes is walking off the street. And then all of a sudden, after one season of making the playoffs, now all of a sudden they're making seven-figure deals.
Yeah,
that's not how baseball works.
Where did Charlie Sheen get that money? Yes,
they all are acting like they all got brand new like million-dollar contracts the following year. If you go back to '94, yeah, there weren't a ton of guys making over $1 million that weren't like elite.
And who signed them to these contracts?
Dorn, clearly Dorn did.
Dorn or Phelps, like. Neither, because Dorn didn't have any money. Like he spent all of his money buying the team. So stupid.
Wesley Snipes, Willie Mays Hayes had one season where he probably hit like 260 with 55 stolen bases, and all of a sudden they're just going to give him $1 million when you got him under contract for dirt cheap. He ain't going anywhere.
We're manipulating his time. You know what I mean? Absolutely. We still got five more years of you at the minimum, guy.
See, I'll tell you right now, go back to Major League One. Who on that roster is making the most money?
Probably Taylor.
Taylor's a journeyman from Mexican League.
The old relief pitcher.
Harris, in my eyes.
The grease ball pitcher. Yeah.
He's not in this second one, so somehow they dumped some salary right there.
Ed Harris?
Ed Harris, yeah. Or no. Eddie Harris, yeah. Him and Dorn are the only ones making any fucking money. And all of a sudden you cut Dorn and you cut Harris. Boom. I guess they had some money, some wiggle room to get Parkman with, I guess.
Remember, Dorn signed himself and activated himself.
Signed a really good RSN deal with Fox Sports Ohio in 1995.
Can we also say, I know it's a movie, that guys would get hit in the face with baseballs like 30 times a game with all the pimping that everybody does, and like Willie Mays Hayes, like pointing game to the one outfield, he is hit in the skull with
even in the first one where that, Taylor
you don't like, you don't like Taylor's
no
it's a bait and switch, man. It's a bait and switch to lay down the drive.
Movie magic.
Come on, man. Babe Ruth never even did that.
It was just a ploy to get those quarter infielders back on their heels a little bit.
That's how you beat out a single with bum knees, King. Figure it out.
Come on, man.
Fuck, dude. Like Serrano hitting a home run and just like standing there, like watching it, and like Willie Mays Hayes like waving at the baseball. Like I swear to God.
I wish more players were like that.
I kind of wanted them to get hit in the head with a baseball.
But like in real baseball, we've seen Tim Anderson who did that. He's absolutely a piece of shit now. Yeah. Jazz Chisholm, 2 days in the Bronx aside, not very good either. Like they beat that shit out of real players.
Oh yeah. But it's also the 90s too. You get fucking one to the dome for, you know, looking at the catcher or pitcher wrong.
Yes, exactly.
Jeff Francoeur is just sitting there in the dugout. Now, next time he's up,
Kyle Farnsworth was out there throwing. I mean,
I wouldn't fuck with Kyle Farnsworth.
No.
Speaking of out there throwing, you notice everybody pitches all game. The only reliever in this movie was Charlie Sheen in Game 7 or whatever that was.
No, he went to the bullpen in the middle of the season there, too. But I mean,
because they needed to establish that a bullpen existed in this movie.
Well, here's the thing. You don't sign Shoup to a big deal in the offseason and not expect him to be a fucking inning eater. I mean, come on. Shoup's there for a reason.
You're a mustache like that, you got to eat up some innings, bro.
You know, watching this again, who I was just really missing was during the scene where they red tag people. I was missing Gentry getting right. I wanted him to come back again and get red tagged again. I really did.
The red tag. That has never been a thing other than these movies.
Gentry had a nice mustache, didn't he?
No, it was clean shaven. He looked like a, like someone that go like door to door Bible salesman kind of thing. Okay. He goes, dude could not pick it at second base. I'll tell you that much.
Do they sell Bibles?
I mean, have you looked at a Trump, Trump talking on the side of his screen is selling his Bibles over there.
I had a former coworker give me a Bible. I still have it. It's like really nice. I haven't like read it or anything, but I was like, oh, thanks. This is actually like really cool. I'll keep it. Sure. Why not? Did I tell you the story?
Oh, I forgot about that. I'm not watching the Gentry scene. Oh, man, I forgot about that.
Oh, it's a great scene.
That's real tearjerker.
Right up there with
Old Yeller.
Terrible. Just slowly closes the door and his locker.
Oh,
just like,
man.
Dream shatters.
Prayers up for Gentry. Did I tell you the story about the person who knocked on my door, like asking me to join their religion? It's a quick story. So
what religion was it?
So like I laughed my ass off afterwards because it was literally the cliche situation you think of. Like knock on my door. I open the door and she's like, hi, my friend and I are trying to catch people while they're at home. Have you heard the good news? It's about the Bible. Literally said that. I was like, oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. Have a good day, though. And then closed the door and like just died laughing. Literally asked me if I'd heard the good news about the Bible. I was like, dude, you're like, are you reading from something? Like, that was incredible. I'm not even mad.
I was on campus today. I was picking up some sandwiches for lunch. Right.
Have you heard the good news?
And I saw these two Mormon, guys walking around. Yeah. I leave with my sandwiches. The guy goes like, hey, man. He's like, what are you doing this Sunday?
Oh,
and I was like, what am I doing this Sunday? I don't know. He's like, well, have you thought about coming to church? I was just like, dude, that's the last thing I'm going to do. And I just started walking away.
Man. Oh man. He
wasn't even like, he was like, him and his buddy were sitting down like at an outside table too. And like caught me walking. It's like,
he's not even trying hard, man.
Like,
come on.
try to size up a person a little bit.
I know this is not the tangent we're going on, but
real quick, I feel bad. Like I generally, cause like, it's not cold calling even. You're like going up to somebody who's minding their own business and trying to bother them basically. So like I wouldn't do that myself. So I'm like, well, have a good day. No, thank you.
Clearly you don't love the Lord enough.
Yeah, no, clearly. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, it just the whole Mormon thing where they go to your house and stuff. It's so like annoyingly intrusive. And I'm sure most of these guys are fairly decent humans on some level.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stay off my property.
I don't want to buy someone's orange miraculous kitchen cleaner. And I don't want to hear about God. Like, sorry.
We should come up with a scheme where like Ski and I dress up as Mormons and like knock on your neighbor's door and fuck with him. I think we're onto something.
I think so.
Let's not say that on the podcast anymore because we don't need on public record.
At the 8 minutes and 20 second left mark.
Yep. It. Got it. Oh man. So we should note in this movie that if Dorn did not go broke and didn't trade Parkman, we would not have Tanaka. So he traded Parkman, who's like best hitter in baseball, probably.
He's a power hitting catcher. I mean, God.
Yeah, yeah. Like traded him for Tanaka, who is like, it's like, I think he said it's 270 or something. Best defensive outfielder we've ever seen in the history of baseball. The guy literally stands on walls and catches fly balls. And like, I mean,
he
punches through the sign.
I'm just saying, I watched Joe Mauer and Matt Wieters trading the power hitting catcher early. Not the worst decision.
No. He'd be transitioning to first base there real soon. But I think the trade it hurt because it did give us Tanaka, who is just such a cliched character.
It really hurts
to watch.
Like, yeah. Really awful. And like,
was his nickname Kamikaze?
Yes, it was Kamikaze. Yep. Kamikaze, yeah. Tanaka.
And yeah. And Serrano was also awful. Like they made his character like truly like terrible in this.
There was only two non-terrible people in this movie.
Euchre.
No, because even he was tame. They had to tame him down too.
Yeah,
he still managed to get his good little quips in with what he could. But it Lou Brown and Taylor, they're the only ones that didn't change characters really at all.
That's true. They sort of had to get the Euchre edge another way. So like because apparently in the first major league he just like improvised all of his lines and was just hilarious. So clearly some of them were written in this one. But they made him like a progressive drunk as the movie was going on instead of letting him say whatever the hell he wanted. So I don't know that part. It was okay.
That was the gimmick. You know, he started off drinking water opening night and then goes to beer and like,
and then whiskey, and then he's passing out and handing off to the.
But we got Monty at least.
Fly ball,
Monty
caught.
Dynamite dropping, Monty.
I love that.
But he does have a great line it though. It's like, I can see those broadcasting classes are really paying off.
That's good. Yeah. If he's not Shaquille O'Neal out there in left field, that ball's out of here.
They did tone down at least the Native American racism. They weren't many balls off the reservation.
Oh, yeah.
It's still tribe talk, and they did. Oof. Chief Wahoo was still very prevalent in this movie, but I feel like it was toned down a little bit.
I feel like they don't know what Buddhism is either. like Serrano's a Buddhist? No, he's not. You keep on using that word. I do not think it means what you think it does.
You know what's great about the first one is that it's one of the few rare like real baseball movies. Yep. Like everything about it was believable to be a major league. This is just so campy and they just straight ruined it.
We have talked about that every sports movie we watched. Like, is the sport good? Like, are the sports they're playing? Does it look believable? This is one of the worst I've ever seen.
See, I disagree that the actual baseball being played wasn't the worst.
Omar Epps looks like he's never picked up a bat before.
Snipes didn't look that great swinging either. Same with Taylor. But like, it's usually, you see it through people like the pitchers, right? Shoop, he's just out there, like, he's throwing the ball 70 miles. He's not throwing hard.
Shoop is the core of this movie.
Yes, he definitely is.
Holding everything together.
He drops a couple of, like, good little one-liners.
That marbles talk.
Yes, the marbles. Yep. We got to talk about the marbles. It's like one of the big takeaways from this movie. You have no marbles. Yeah.
I mean, watching it, it's not, it doesn't age well.
Having not seen this movie in a long time, I remember liking the marbles thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do love how every couple of years, someone in the NBA will hit a big shot. It used to be like Sam Cassell, it was Baron Davis, and now it goes where someone will hit a big shot and they do the big marbles thing. It's just, it's not great, but I get it. I tip my cap.
Yep.
It had something positive coming out of this movie, at least, because there's not much.
So Sheen, like, very much, I mean, because another thing with the baseball, like in the first movie, I think we talked about that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he was like playing spring training games and shit.
He was throwing almost 90. He was hitting like 86 or something like that in real life. And so you could tell Charlie Sheen was in the beginning of his period of the 90s where he's like, was hitting it hard and stopped taking care of himself because he looked the part. Like,
he definitely looked a little puffy compared to the first movie.
A little bit.
I do love the times of like, man, I wish I could throw 96 again.
I know.
He's trying to name
tosser
his,
now.
He's trying to name his fastball throwing it 96.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's cute. Yeah. There are high schoolers throwing it that fast now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Literally.
High schoolers getting Tommy John so they could come back and throw it 102. Yep. All right. Anything else before we grade this?
I mean, Black Hammer, White Lightning, one of the highlights of this movie.
Kind of need to see that movie made. I mean, it's a little late, but.
I will say it for Omar Epps' sake. He had to act like Snipes in Willie Mays Hayes. It's a tough role to walk in on, to take over from another actor. He tried his best. It's just not good.
You say that about this whole movie. They tried their best.
It's not good. Hey Jake, what's going on? Hey Jake. Yeah. Yeah. God.
By the way, this movie made $53 million.
Yeah.
Number one movie. Budget was 25. FYI. So. Amazing they didn't end up making Major League 3, but I think we know why. All right, so this is a listener movie. Who wants to start grading it? Let's make it out of 5.
5 this week?
Let's make it out of 5.
Yeah.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm going to give this a 1.5.
Oof.
It's a bad movie.
See, you do realize Major League Back to the Minors exists. You can't give this movie a 1.5 when that movie exists.
I can give that a 1. You can do what I want.
No, because that's too high. Major League 2 is at least 5 times better than Major League Back to the Minors. Major League Back to the Minors is a half a point, so I'm giving this a 2.5.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
It has Behringer in it. It can't be fully bad.
I'm going to give it a 1.9. It's
a 1.9?
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah. Can't quite get to 2. 1.9.
I needed more Randy Newman songs.
This movie felt like Major League
1.9. Rolling in the Cleveland to the Bay.